Well, hi everybody. My name's Neil Pearson, and my sobriety date is the 9th day of June of 1982. Thank you for the introduction, Nancy. I'm very grateful for your friendship and support. And thank you, Greg, for asking me to do the lead on this very first discussion meeting of the new Friends of Dr. Bob Zoom group. I hope that my words might set the tone for full biblical freedom for all future meetings. Now, I was asked to speak about a principle of truth, namely that of faith, discussed in early recovery meetings, a truth which is infused into the 12 steps and the AA Big Book text. Now, early meetings were not recorded, so we have to make an educated guess that this principle of truth about faith was essential to the spiritual recovery process. AA historians tell us that AA got its principles from the practices found in the Oxford group, which both Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson were active in. The Oxford group was a Christian organization, and their principles had their origin in the Judeo-Christian Bible. Now, Dr. Bob recognized the needs for alcoholics to read the Bible, and he made that crystal clear. His most accurate viewpoint is in the AA conference-approved pamphlet P53, the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. It contains the entirety of Dr. Bob's last major talk to AA members in Detroit in 1948. His message about the importance of the Bible are summed up as this: "In the early days, our stories didn't amount to anything to speak of. When we started in on Bill D, we had no 12 steps, either we had no traditions, but we were convinced that the answer to our problems was in the Good Book. To some of us older ones, the parts that we found as absolutely essential were the Sermon on the Mount, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and the Book of James. It wasn't until 1938 that the teaching and efforts and studies that had been going on were crystallized in the form of the 12 steps." Dr. Bob continues, "I didn't write the 12 steps. I had nothing to do with the writing of them. We already had the basic ideas, though not in terse and tangible form. We got them, as I said, as the result of our study of the Good Book." It definitely is from the Bible where we find this absolutely essential recovery principle. Specifically, faith without works is dead. It comes from the Epistle of James, chapter 2 in the New Testament. The book of James was written to early Christians to live consistently in light of their professed beliefs. The full text of James focuses on maturity, character, and the hallmarks of true faith, specifically an individual's faith in the biblical God and his son Jesus Christ. In early Akron meetings, one had to confess this belief first prior to attending meetings. This principle, faith without works is dead, was deemed not only essential to the recovery process, but absolutely essential. From the very beginning, it was likely a topic often discussed in early meetings. Now, this absolutely essential principle is found in three places in the Big Book. The first is found in Bill's story, page 24. It reads, "My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead," he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again, and if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it's just like that. The second is found in the chapter Into Action and refers to what comes next after step 7. When ready, we say something like this: "My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defective character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. And the third reference is found at the end of chapter 6. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. And that chapter, of course, is called Working with Others. In the book of James, the context is about the behavioral proof of religious belief, specifically the beliefs in the tenets of Christianity. James's emphasis is on the importance of putting one's faith into action through good deeds and righteous behavior. Simply professing faith without demonstrating it through works is considered incomplete and ineffective. While faith alone saves, it should lead to good works and obedience to God. Now, it's interesting to note when the Big Book was in its manuscript stage, they needed a name for the company they were forming to publish and distribute the book. From the book How It Worked, an autobiography of Clarence Schneider, we find this. Someone came up with Works Publishing. There are at least three explanations as to the origin of the name that they chose. The first is that one of the favorite Bible quotes in early AA was from the book of James. It was, "Faith without works is dead." The second is that this first book was to be the first of many works by the new publishing company. And the third is that when the members of the group were questioned as to why this cure had worked when all others had failed, they simply replied, "It works." Now, we can have a lot of confidence that the early meetings were Bible-heavy and used other reference literature which wrote about Bible truths and precepts. A precept is a command or principle intended especially as a general rule of action. A Methodist devotional which began its publishing debut during the 1935 Bill Wilson Dr. Bob meetings was called The Upper Room. It was published quarterly, and each day included a Bible verse, an example, a prayer, and a thought for the day. This publication was a favorite of Dr. Bob and was likely referenced in these early meetings. A daily reading from the issue of February 24, 2017, just a few short years ago, provides a facsimile of the daily readings found in the latter 1930s. It's labeled Walking the Talk, and it quotes another scripture having to do with the faith without works dead principle. It's James 2:24, which says, "A person is shown to be righteous through faithful actions and not through faith alone." It also suggests reading Hebrews 11:3-12, because Hebrews 11 is often referred to as faith's hall of fame, because it lists people who fulfilled what God asked them to do. One example is Abraham, who obeyed God's call to leave his home, even though he did not know anything about where he was going. The prayer for the day is, "Dear God, help us put our faith into action. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." And the thought for the day is, "Beyond my words, God wants my actions." Now, Dick B., a well-known historian, described the Pioneer AA group in Akron, which characterized itself as a Christian fellowship, devoted itself to Bible study, old-fashioned prayer meetings, use of Christian devotionals, regular quiet times, conversions to Christ, and serving God and their fellow sufferers by love and practical service. And it took faith to carry out these practices. We need to come to grips as to what this phrase really means in the context of our spiritual journey in today's AA. Let's first get a proper definition. Faith is confidence or trust in a person, thing, or concept. Now, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, faith has multiple definitions, namely something that is believed, especially with strong conviction, and a firm belief in something for which there is no proof, and belief in trust in and loyalty to God. It is the belief and trust in the biblical God that was discussed in Dr. Bob's kitchen with Bill Wilson, guided by Dr. Bob's wife, Annie, as well as in the early meetings in Akron. There was none of this create your own higher power nonsense in those days. In those early days of the AA program, there seemed to be little, if any, confusion about the meaning of God in the phrase God as we understood him. The God that folks believed in was the biblical God. Their quest was to understand him better. The root of the AA program is plain and simple Christian faith. That is spelled out clearly in many places in the Big Book and in our history. Now, Dick B. documented the role of Christian belief in Bill Wilson's conversion experience. First, Ebby went to the altar at Calvary Mission, made a decision for Christ, and was converted. He shared that experience with Bill Wilson. Second, Bill followed suit and went to Calvary Mission, stating that he wanted what Ebby had received. Wilson soon responded to the altar call, made a decision for Christ, and was converted, though wandering drunk and aimlessly for a short time and then checking into Towns Hospital. Ebby visited Bill in Towns Hospital and elaborated on the Oxford Group's practical program of action. Bill followed the directions, humbly offered himself to God as he then understood God, cried out, "If there be a God, let him show himself," and then reported having his famous hot flash experience. Bill's experience and recital of it was much like that of his grandfather William, who was an alcoholic who never drank after a conversion experience on Mount Aeolus. It caused Bill to believe that he had found God and had a conversion experience, or whatever Bill had, whether at Calvary Rescue Mission or at Towns or at both. Bill Wilson never drank again. In the Akron Genesis and in Dr. Bob's Kitchen, with Annie quoting biblical verses and discussions about what those verses meant, the basic understanding of faith without works is dead emphasized that a program of action was necessary for recovery. The original Akron AA Christian Fellowship program practiced a cure from alcoholism through reliance on the biblical God, coming to him through his son Jesus Christ, and reading and studying the Bible, along with the other principles and practices of the early days. That meant for a person to recover, they needed both a belief in the biblical God and have faith that God would cure them. Now, I have been cured for over 43 years, and I have not ever had a desire to drink since I came into AA. I am a believer. Beliefs are something every human has. It's essentially what makes us think and act towards our environment. The strength of the belief is the force behind whether we do something or not do it. For example, consider that I have a belief that my life would be more fulfilling if I drove around on a motorcycle. If it's a strong belief and I have faith in that belief, I would probably buy one and drive around with it as often as possible. So beliefs drive our actions, and our actions verify the beliefs. That process happens in AA as we hear and apply the truth. And repetition strengthens and confirms the belief. Strong beliefs, that is, beliefs that have conviction, are a measure of faith and will be seen in us in the actions or works we perform as a result. I want to end with this question. Which of these following understandings of faith do you think was absolutely essential in Dr. Bob's meetings and has the best long-term outcome? A faith in the steps of the program. B, faith in the fellowship. Or C, working with others, or D, faith in the biblical God and his son Jesus Christ as it was clearly in the beginning? Well, I'm out of time, but to help you answer that question, I would refer you to an article I wrote, which is posted on the Eternal Sobriety website entitled, What is the Best Kept Secret in AA? I will post that link in chat should you wish to read it. Now, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share today. Greg has told me that these meetings will allow us to have a lot of freedom in what we say. In that light, I will take some of that freedom and end this talk with a song that has meant a great deal to me since 1984, when I realized the full truth about Jesus Christ, made him the Lord of my life, and began working on the book, Eternal Sobriety, while sharing Christ as my understanding of God to others. I am still riding that train. It's a wonderful ride.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus. I'm only human. I'm just a woman. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Cheating and stealing, violence and crime. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way one day.
Well, thank you for listening, and that's it. Back to you, Greg.